Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
On a Thursday, it's November 7th. Great to be with you on a Thursday morning edition of November 7th, 2024. We'll continue to unpack the election today. First, we have, of course, one, the only amazing Father Mitch Pacwa, who is talking about the results and how do we go forward? How do we help be peacemakers and keep the peace in our families and in our communities? And how do we react to this election, which is really pretty historic in terms of the numbers? We know that Donald Trump, President-elect Trump, has also won the popular vote. And in terms of the minority vote, he has been able to get quite a few more people to come alongside him, increasing votes with the African-American community, with women and other minorities, the Latinos. So it's a quite an interesting story to be following. So we'll talk about that with Father Mitch. And also just, again, how do we as Catholics promote peace and be peacemakers? You know, that beautiful prayer from St. Francis, make me a channel of your peace. And then I want to share with you some of my own thoughts. I talked about this in the first hour of my program, and Andrew is going to replay it for you. I was thinking about all these media people, the legacy media people, who are having major meltdowns. And it's all because of pride. And I'm going to take you back to when I first left the secular media. There was a lot of pride on my part as well, because I didn't want to leave. I wanted things my way. And I knew, this is even after I came back to the church, that God was, in my heart I knew, and in prayer, he was taking me in a different direction. And I dug in my heels. And I dug in my heels for 3 years. It wasn't like I said, oh, here I am, Lord, I have come to do your will. Eventually, yes, but this crazy Calabrese and very stubborn Calabrese person, Italian-American, took a long time to come around. So again, as I'll mention to you in this editorial piece that we ran this morning in the first hour of the program, I know what it feels like to have a hard time letting go of your own ideas, of your own agenda. The media that we're talking about are not coming at this from a religious perspective, but they are coming at it from a very personal perspective because they believe everything they talk about. They even believe their own lies, and they wanted us to believe them too. They're not looking at where the American people were. They're not looking at the pulse of the American people, and that's a problem. They should have been out there on the street doing the man on the street reports, going beyond New York and California, and understanding the American public better, because many, many people may not be crazy at all about Donald Trump, but they vote differently because they're very concerned about the state of the country. So we'll talk about that, and we'll play some clips from the media meltdown that's happened the last couple of days. Weather-wise, we have dangerous fire conditions in Southern California. A strong Santa Ana wind event will bring widespread, extremely critical fire weather conditions to many areas of Los Angeles and Ventura counties. All throughout the day today, heavy snow impacting the central to southern Rockies and nearby high plains. Hurricane Rafael continues to bring tropical storm conditions to the Florida Keys as well. Right now on a Thursday morning, though, it is time to check the news. It's November 7th, 2024, and this program is brought to you by our friends at houseofjoppa.com. Well, the White House says President Biden, as Mark Mayfield tells us, will be addressing the nation sometime this morning.
His remarks will come 2 days after Donald Trump defeated Vice President Harris to become the nation's 47th president. Biden spoke with Trump on Wednesday and congratulated him on his election victory. He also invited Trump to the White House to talk about a smooth transition of power.
And the race for control of the House is still undecided at this point, but Republicans are expressing confidence they will take control once all the votes are indeed counted. The GOP needs a dozen more seats to keep control. Democrats need more than 30 to flip, but political analysts say that doesn't look very likely. If the GOP keeps control, it would give Republicans control of both houses of Congress and the White House following Donald Trump's victory. The election is over, and although the final tally has not been certified, the United States has a new president-elect, Donald J. Trump. Brie Tennis with a formality coming up on the horizon for Kamala Harris.
A According to the Constitution, the Vice President of the United States is also the head of the Senate. That person declares the results of a White House election. So that means Kamala Harris will officially announce the new administration of Donald Trump. It is truly a formality, but on January 6th, the Vice President, head of the Senate, and one-time presidential opponent, Kamala Harris, will formally certify Trump as president.
And reporter Megumi Lim telling us that Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is among numerous world leaders now congratulating President-elect Trump on his big comeback victory.
President Zelensky wrote on X on Wednesday, quote, "We look forward to an era of a strong United States of America under President Trump's decisive leadership." He said, quote, "We rely on continued strong bipartisan support for Ukraine in the United States."
Zelensky also noted that he appreciates Trump's peace through strength approach to global affairs. At the same time, however, analysts have said that Trump's return as commander-in-chief could put further U.S. aid for Ukraine in jeopardy as it continues to fight against Russia. And Laura Westbrook tells us, meanwhile, congratulations have also been extended to the president-elect from China on his victory and upcoming return to the White House.
State-run newspaper China Daily said that Trump's second presidency could mark a new beginning in China-U.S. relations if the chance that has been offered is not wasted. It said the next administration could strengthen dialogue with China on issues from Taiwan to trade to the South China Sea. Donald Trump campaigned on the promise of raising tariffs on all Chinese imports to 60%. Analysts say Beijing is wary of a potential revival of the trade war under Trump, especially as China is currently facing its own economic challenges.
The Justice Department now looking at how to wind down two criminal cases against Donald Trump now that he's been reelected to the White House.
Both federal cases mired in appeals and delays for months, with no trials on the horizon, as Mr. Trump has vowed to fire the top prosecutor in charge, Special Counsel Jack Smith.
Laura Jarrett explaining the cases center around his actions leading up to the January 6, 2021 Capitol incident and his handling of classified documents. The Trump camp is also looking at how to get rid of state criminal cases against him in New York and Georgia as well. In other news this morning, during his general audience, Christopher Wells tells us Pope Francis entrusted all those suffering from the tragic storms throughout Spain and especially in Valencia to Our Lady of the Forsaken.
Pope Francis began his Wednesday general audience with a special appeal for Valencia, as well as other parts of Spain, reiterating his closeness to those suffering from massive flooding that has left more than 200 people dead and dozens missing. I wanted to greet the Virgin of the Forsaken, he said, adding, Our Lady takes care of the poor. The Holy Father was referring to an image of the Holy Virgin he had received from the faithful of Valencia, which the Pope had beside him on the stage during the audience. I wanted her, the patron of Valencia, to be here, he said, noting that the image was given by the Valencians themselves. Spanish authorities said Tuesday that 89 people are confirmed to be missing 1 week after the catastrophic floods in the eastern of Valencia region. It's the first figure of the missing to be made public. The number corresponds to the eastern Valencia region, where 211 of the 217 confirmed deaths took place.
Cuba's energy grid is collapsing after Hurricane Rafael made landfall yesterday. The state-run grid operator is blaming Rafael for knocking out power to Cuba's entire population. That's some 10 million people. It's the second time in less than a month that the whole island has lost power. The U.S. National Hurricane Center is also warning of life-threatening storm surges, as well as flash flooding across much of western Cuba. The hurricane is now moving into the Gulf of Mexico and possibly toward the U.S. Gulf Coast as well. CAL FIRE crews in San Diego are ready to go into San Diego in case a fire starts in the Santa Ana conditions. Captain Mike Cornetti says the red flag warnings for the Santa Ana winds up to 50 miles per hour and low humidity mean they have to be overstaffed and prepared.
We're fully staffed at our 42 fire stations countywide. We also have brought on additional equipment and personnel during this wind event. So our plan is to keep our staffing up to a point where we can knock these fires out as soon as we can.
And they are asking the public to be ready to evacuate immediately if that's necessary. A new study suggesting that feeling more sleepy during the day as you get older could mean you're at higher risk for developing dementia. In the study published yesterday, over 35% of those who experienced daytime sleepiness developed a cognitive risk syndrome that could lead to dementia, that syndrome often resulting in a slow walking speed as well as memory loss. A day after Donald Trump wins the election, as you just heard, the Federal Reserve is expected to announce a quarter-point interest rate cut. Bank Greg McBride says this will lower the central bank's benchmark lending rate to between 4.5% and 4.75%.
The election outcome isn't going to change what the Fed does this month. The Fed will take another step in reducing interest rates, lifting the foot off the brake pedal just a little bit more.
The Fed is expected to continue cutting rates at its next several meetings since inflation is measuring at 2.1%, just shy of the 2% goal. Consumers are advised to start paying down debt ASAP. Tammy Trujillo tells us the world's first wooden satellite has been launched into space.
The palm-sized satellite, which was built by Japanese researchers, will be flown to the International Space Station and later released into orbit about 250 miles above Earth. It will stay in orbit for several months to see how wood endures the extreme environment of space. The invention is an early test of using timber in Mars and lunar exploration, and if it's successful, it could open the door to other uses for wood in space.
We'll be right back.
The most amazing saints from modern times, John Paul II, Maximilian Kolbe, and Maria Faustina with the Divine Mercy. This is Steve Ray. We invite you to join us on a pilgrimage to Poland and experience this incredible Catholic country, the land of saints, Catholic culture, gorgeous churches and shrines, and delicious food. Join us next April as we again visit Poland, one of our favorite pilgrimage destinations.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Hope you're having a beautiful Thursday, November 7, 2024, continuing to cover the election of this year. 2 days ago, on Tuesday, November 5th, Father Mitch Pacwa joins us for Cultural Connections. So, Father, I know yesterday you had a mass and you called for prayer for our leaders and also congratulated Donald Trump. What are your thoughts now on a Thursday morning after the election?
Yeah, we've been praying at EWTN about the election for some time and talking about some of the moral questions we are concerned with. Now that Mr. Trump has won the presidency again, which, by the way, is the second time that this has been done. Grover Cleveland was the first Democrat to be elected after the Civil War. He lost to a Republican and then won 4 years later. And there's a lesson in a lot of these things to look back in history. I would urge people to study that history of the post-Civil War period. One of the things that happened is that the Republicans were formed to end slavery, But then when they got in power, and after the war, slavery was ended, the 13th Amendment was passed, all that, then they didn't care about the after effects. And they focused more on the old Whig party faction in the Republican Party. These were people focused on business and, frankly, on anti-Catholicism. That's why Catholics weren't part of the Republican Party very much. And as a result of that, they lost a lot of their base support. They didn't continue, even after Reconstruction, to protect the rights of the black people that they'd helped set free. And so, you know, they took them for granted. We said, you're from slavery. Now, you know, you owe us. You just keep voting for them. No. You have, the citizens of all races have to keep an eye on all these politicians, no matter what party, because they can all slip into selfish purposes, right, unless we remind them and we take our own responsibilities to act to make, as this movement is called, to make America great again. We have to keep a clear sense in our mind. What is that greatness? Mr. Trump's opponents try to portray that greatness, make America great again, by looking to the Democratic Party's history of racial oppression. Mm-hmm. And they say he's going to go back to that. He's going to bring in Jim Crow. And that's what they kept saying, right, in 2020 and afterwards. And we have to have, and this is a Catholic gift, what is greatness for a country? Not only ours, but for any country. What makes us, prosperity, equal rights for everybody, and opportunities for everybody? That's greatness, which is, I think, I'm pretty convinced that's what Mr. Trump is talking about. He's not talking about going back to Democrat policies of Jim Crow. Instead, he wants to see prosperity in the country and peace. You know, this is, so what are we as citizens going to do to help clarify what we mean by American greatness and keep on refining it? This is greatness is something that is ultimately defined by the greatness of God himself. His goodness is the norm to which we want to get. God's sense of justice that is combined with mercy is the norm. This is one of the big mistakes that, and this isn't about Vice President Harris. I don't know that this was her attitude. I don't think it was. But there were lots of people on the far left who wanted justice but no mercy. No, God sets the norm. That's why if you did something that contradicted the left's notion of justice, they could not and would not forgive you. And what we want to say is no, God's justice combines mercy, and we want to see reconciliation and help for everybody, not just justice by itself. A generosity of spirit, a care for the country. And I think, you know, one of the proposals that Mr. Trump has been talking about, especially in connection with Robert Kennedy, is how do we make Americans healthy again? While the Chinese are sending fentanyl that kills about 100,000 of our military age young people every year, we also see that our young people poison themselves with bad diets. They're overweight and all this. And, you know, Mr. Kennedy, I think, will have a better chance than Mr. Trump at calling people to a healthiness and strength, mm-hmm. and take for to call us to be responsible for that. Good health and good strength are good for a great nation. And I think also as Catholics, we can, Mr. Trump is certainly very, very open to this. He sees that religion has an important place in society. While what we saw, even with a Catholic like President Joe Biden, who, you know, put his Catholicism into a bracket that did not affect a lot of his other values, such as abortion and such. No, we can be a people who say, how can we integrate the values of our faith, the moral values, as well as the way that faith gives us hope? And with those kind of aspirations of hope, we want to make a better future for the next generation. The world is in a very, very difficult way. And I really am afraid, whether you like Mr. Biden or not, I don't think Mr. Biden was really able to help, you know, settle down the issues of peace in Ukraine and the trouble that Mr. Putin and Mr. Xi of China were trying to stir up around the world. That work for peace is a very important goal. And we also want to see that there is going to be a sense of justice for all the parties, for the Ukrainians, for the Palestinians, for the Israelis, for the Russians. No, we don't want to see this side is right, that side is wrong, I hate them, and I'm like, no. We want to bring our faith in there where our faith calls us to love enemies, and mm-hmm. we can bring it to friendship. Mr. Trump, I think, is open, and I have to say this too, just an observation. It seems that after his two assassination attempts, he has a sense of the precariousness of life itself, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and yep, a greater mm-hmm. appreciation and just, I think, a tad more humility. I mean, he's still a New York wise guy, which I'm sure right. you understand. But, but I think he has that, and religion is a factor in that. And while we're not there to proselytize, I don't want the government to proselytize Catholicism or any other religion. They can barely run the post office. Leave. Don't try to help us with our faith. Let us do that, but right. let us do it. Don't put
without interference
in federal
right?
prison
mm-hmm. yes.
for saying
mm-hmm.
the rosary in front of an abortion clinic or across the street.
Or sue someone over and over and over again because he won't bake a cake that represents something that's against his own faith.
Exactly. To let religion be respected, but also to let religious values influence the country positively. And of course, we as religious people have to make sure, because I see this too often. I know a number of ministers here in Alabama, and they get favored by the government in various ways, and it doesn't do their church any good to get that advantage. They when the government favors them, we had one case where a minister was telling the a mayor of a city in Alabama, "We know about some of your personal moral problems, and we don't agree with your personal morality. If you give us $2 million for our little organization, we won't preach against you." Mm. Now, we don't want wow. religion to go that route. That's not what we want. And by the way, they didn't get the money. The mayor stood up to them, rightfully. But we do want to have an influence on how the government chooses moral issues and chooses to respect religion. And you know, I just was listening to Mr. Bannon, who was in prison because he wouldn't cooperate with a federal investigation on Mr. Trump. And he said, I met with and prayed with Catholics who were in prison because they prayed the rosary across the street from an abortion center. We don't want the government to attack that, our faith. And we don't want them to promote. We want to have a good impact on the government. That's our task.
We're talking with Father Mitch Pacwa, our cultural connections, on a Thursday morning, November 7, 2024. Father, when we come back, I'd like to talk about, and this is something really important, because here we are in November, Thanksgiving is right around the corner, soon it'll be Christmas, how we can engage each other, because I think we should be able to talk to each other about politics, maybe not necessarily at Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas Eve, but I think we should be able to dialogue with each other. Maybe we can get back to that, I don't know. But any thoughts on how we should handle that, we'll discuss when we come back, and also discussing more on the election of 2024, our cultural connections on a Thursday. We'll be right back.
When we speak of blessing in prayer, what exactly do we mean? The Catholic Catechism defines blessing as a basic movement of Christian prayer, an encounter between God and man. God's gift and man's acceptance of that gift are united in dialogue with each other. God blesses, and the human heart can respond to bless the one who is the source of every blessing. The Catechism states that two fundamental forms express this movement. Human prayer ascends in the Holy Spirit through Christ to the Father, and it implores the grace of the Holy Spirit, which descends through Christ from the Father. Adoration, says the Catechism, is man's first attitude, acknowledging that he is a creature before his Creator. It exalts the God who made us and the almighty power of the Savior who sets us free from evil. It is the homage of the Spirit to the King of Glory. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Catholic family life is a liturgy. Liturgy is a word that means a public act of worship. And for Catholics, liturgy is an act of worship established by God and intended to heal the damage that sin does to our relationships with Him and each other. For instance, the liturgy of the Eucharist is God's way of restoring communion with Him and making communion with others possible. Well, when we bring that Eucharistic grace home by looking for little ways we can share Christ's sacrificial love with our family each day, we celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life. The liturgy that helps God heal the damage sin tries to do in our homes, at the very root of human relationships. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Great to be with Father Mitch Pacwa on a Thursday. Of course, news continuing, talking about the election 2024. So, Father, we know that there are many, many families and many friends that are divided on issues, on policies, on parties. And you always hear, don't mix, don't mix religion and politics. Don't talk about politics around the holidays. I do think, though, that we should be able at some point, and I hope it's soon, to get back to talking to each other. Okay, maybe not over Christmas dinner, maybe not over, as I said before, the break, Thanksgiving dinner.
No.
But we should be able to dialogue with each other. Do you ever think we'll get back to that? And I noticed that in his acceptance speech, after he was the projected winner on early yesterday morning, he did talk about unity.
Yes, and so did Vice President Harris. No, she was talking about how she wanted to unify the country, too. That's good that both of them were talking about that. But they cannot do it by themselves. They can express that desire, but it takes our conversations at home, on the street, at work, etc., for us to be able to be part of that unification. So we can't put this all on either one of them. That's just impossible. So here's what I would say. We have to start off with two approaches. And having watched, especially on, I was watching on election day, people, you know, being interviewed, people from the Harris side being interviewed on the conservative Fox network. And they couldn't, neither one could say anything without, well, wait, yeah, but wait a minute, you forgot about this. No, yeah, but wait. Another one of the things is learn to listen. Pay attention to what they're saying. Just because you sit and listen to their side doesn't mean that you are convinced that they're right. And just because you get to speak your side, that doesn't mean that you have won the argument. It seems that in our present discourse, not being able to finish your point means that the other guy won. That is not thinking. We have to learn to listen. And then we have to also focus on finding out the facts of what people said and did. And what are the facts? Say the facts of what were some of the positive things that the Biden administration accomplished. They did get more jobs overall, but they couldn't control inflation because of other policies. And, you know, learn to what's happening. That means, folks, all of us need to study and find out what's going on. Read some serious books, not just listening to Fox, CNN, or MSNBC and what their quick analyses are. There are people who are more serious. I try to get those books, a variety of topics about the economy. Read about the economy, what's going on now. And read about China and what they're up to. Read about Russia and what they're up to and other areas so that you become well-informed and don't fall into the mistake of making decisions on the basis of a feeling.
I've known a
lot of people who made decisions based on a feeling, and they got into a relationship or a marriage that was catastrophic. You have to also use your mind to think about certain elements and not just follow your heart. That's fine for the Hallmark Network, but not in real life. You have to take a look at facts. Another part of that, especially because I think the public school system and other school systems have been failing to teach American history. Find out more about our history. I like Audible, and I listen to serious books about the different presidents, Garfield and stuff. They just skipped a rock across the late 1800s in my history classes, and I didn't really understand it much. Get to know that and see, are there parallels to today? And learn from past mistakes and learn facts about what's going on. This is responsible citizenship. And this is where, again, Catholicism is so rich in a history of using reason and knowledge as a basis for what we do. The Catholic Church started the universities, and they used the ancient libraries that the Catholic monks had copied by hand for centuries. That's how they came to as much knowledge as they had. And the church taught people to read and write whenever they had the chance. This is a model for us in the modern world. Take that responsibility as a citizenship at the same time that you claim your rights as a citizen. Use it to be a citizen who knows what the Constitution says, understands a little bit more about our law system, and the way that our government is even structured, people don't even know the difference between the role of the Senate and the House because they're not teaching civics in the public schools and other places. It's boring. I know it's boring. I mean, it's boring to me. But now I look back on my civics class as a big help, and I need to keep alert and study more about it. And again, not limiting yourselves to the media. Sometimes the people are smart, and bless their hearts, but some of them are just dumber than rocks.
Well, it's interesting. I was talking about this yesterday with Bill Donahue of the Catholic League, and looking at the media, there were some statements an interesting collage or montage, as we call it in the business, of media pundits claiming that this was going to be a Harris blowout, that Trump was toast. I mean, on and on and on. I'm thinking, how can you be so out of touch if the race is that close? I mean, and how could it be a blowout on either side? So I think there's a lot of information that people were not given. But I do think that people, because they realize that those who are out there telling them what to do and how they live their lives could not relate to them, and they were tired of being told what to do. And it seems like a lot more people did their homework this time around.
Yeah, and I would say this too. The news media people live on the coasts, and they talk primarily to people already agree with them.
They're to each other. They talk to each other. Mm-hmm.
And they don't listen to the folks outside. That's us. And they don't know what we think. And a lot of times they don't know our government and our history. So we become better informed. That's
exactly
a great way to live this. And
amen,
then we won't
Father
argue so much. Love that.
I hope not. Thank you, Father. Great perspective as always. Appreciate it. Father Mitch Bakwa on a Thursday, Cultural Connections. We'll be right back.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
John 14. This is Jesus in the upper room with the disciples before he's going out to his sacrifice of himself for our salvation. And Philip says to the Lord, "Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied." Jesus looks at Philip and says, "Philip, have I been with you all this time? Don't you understand? When you see me, you're looking at the Father." In fact, only two people throughout human history have given rise to the question, not who is he, but what is he? The two people are Buddha and Jesus. Buddha's answer was, don't come to me, don't look to me, look to my doctrine, look to what I teach. Jesus' answer was, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Jesus is explicitly claiming to be God.
And now, the EWTN Family Prayer with Father Joseph.
Family, a prayer that we pray together is a powerful prayer. So please pray together with me, our EWTN Family Prayer. Today we pray for those who are suffering with Parkinson's disease. Lord Jesus Christ, consolation of the afflicted, you are our refuge. We pray for those who are suffering the effects of Parkinson's disease. As they lose their physical strength and abilities, increase their spiritual strength and abilities. Renew their inner spirit day after day, and through their share in your sufferings, give the grace of conversion to sinners. In their weakness, reveal your strength. Give peace and joy to those who care for them. Amen.
Welcome back to Catholic Connection on a Thursday morning, November 7th. I want to, as I mentioned, talk to you about the media, the legacy media, and the sin of pride. And what do I mean by that? Well, those of you who know my story know that I left the secular media and obviously started working in Catholic media. But it took me 3 years to come to terms with what God was trying to do or how he was trying to direct me in my life. I really was struggling because even though I was back in the church at the time I left the secular media, I truly did not want to give up the fame, the money, and it's nothing compared to what some of these other stars have, right, or other media people have or had, but I was comfortable. In some ways, I was comfortable. Deep down, I knew the media were changing. Deep down, I knew I was miserable on many levels because I didn't like what was happening to the media, but I didn't want to totally admit it, and I was trying to make myself fit in somehow, some way, so I wouldn't want to have to give up all of the things I had dreamed of all of my life. And yet, 3 years later, I realized this isn't working out. So I said, okay, Lord, you gave me a good 20 years in the secular media. You saved my soul. You healed my marriage. Whatever you want me to do. But it was a lot of pride because I was very proud to be on the air every day, and I liked being recognized, and I liked making that money in the secular media. So one of my, you know, problems was that I had one foot in the secular world and one foot in the Catholic world, and I really didn't want to submit or surrender. Now, in the case of the secular media, we're not talking about this from a religious perspective, but it is about pride. Once again, as in 2016, they had their heads handed to them on silver platters. The public told them something different, the viewing public, the listening public, the reading public, but they did not want to hear it. We were the problem. Not them. They are the elites. They have the idea of how we should think, of how we should live our lives, of what's reality, when what they were presenting to us was anything but reality. And here again, in 2024, they had their heads handed to them on silver platters in an even larger way. Not only did Trump win by large margins, and the numbers for women and minorities were way up for him, he also won the popular vote. He also was able to help bring the Senate back into the GOP circles, and it looks like the GOP is going to take the House. And what happened? The media bought into the lies of the left and became, once again, their mouthpieces, and were using similar terms, allowing the candidates to get away with calling people garbage, or calling people fascists, or calling people racist. It had to be everybody else but the candidate and the media who supported that candidate. There was no looking in the mirror, there was no reflection, and that's the problem. It is the sin of pride. Just take a listen to a fuming Joe Scarborough from MSNBC's Morning Joe talking with Al Sharpton and claiming that the minorities who did vote for Trump, they're the ones with the issues, and we just don't want to admit it.
Democrats need to be mature. And they need to be honest. And they need to say, yes, there's misogyny. But it's not just misogyny from white men. Mm-hmm. It's misogyny from Hispanic men.
Right.
It's misogyny from black men. Things we've all been talking about, who do not want a woman leading them. Might be race issues with Hispanics. They don't want a black woman as president of the United States.
And then there's Joy Reid on MSNBC as well, calling Ron DeSantis and his people in Florida fascist because they defeated that abortion amendment. Could it be, Joy, that maybe the people thought that what people were doing in this country in terms of particular politicians pushing abortion extremism, that it was too much and they wanted to stop it, and that that wasn't the most important thing to them? No, it has to be because they're fascist, they're racist, and everything else.
It's a pure Project 2025 in miniature in Florida, and that kind of extreme sort of extremist right wing fascist type government in Florida, does that make it a more attractive place?
And then Lawrence O'Donnell is saying, oh no, it's the Electoral College. That's the problem. The founding fathers are the problem. It can't be us. It can't be our candidates that we support. It's a whole system of the United States government. Going back to the beginning of this country, that is the problem.
Issue an apology to all of those states that we have not mentioned. It's not our fault. It's the founding fathers. They decided on this thing called the Electoral College, which, interestingly, No other country in the world decided to copy. And because of that, in presidential terms, in effect, on nights like this, you have a right to think that it feels like no one cares about your vote, if you're in California or if you're in New York. And when you think about how enormous a force that can be in voter suppression, there may be nothing quite like it. Imagine if California voters ever got to think that their votes for president matter. There are 7 million people in California who don't vote. They're registered. They don't vote today. And how many of them would turn out? And oh, by the way, how many more millions would that add to Kamala Harris's total? New York, the state of New York, another 7 million people who don't vote in this presidential election because they know what the outcome is for their state. Most of those, if they voted, would add millions to Kamala Harris. And this Electoral College problem is one that bedevils us in the 21st century as it never has before.
And last but not least, listen to Gail King and a few other panelists, and of course others from MSNBC as well, in this montage that was aired on The Five yesterday on Fox News about, gosh, what's wrong with our country? We don't want democracy anymore. Again, it's the people, not the messengers or the politicians, that are the problem.
Donald Trump has won the state of Wisconsin, which means he is the winner of this race. For so many of you watching right now, that news is, to say the least, a lot to digest.
I'm profoundly disturbed. I'm worried about mass deportation and internment camps.
I can't help but wonder if the American people have given up on democracy.
I'd like to know what that says about us as a country.
People who woke up this morning with a dream and are going to bed with a nightmare.
So here it is, brothers and sisters. It really is a matter of pride. Again, I liken this to myself when I was struggling, leaving the secular media, and I was very proud, and I didn't want to submit to God. It took me 3 years. So I'm not expecting any come-to-Jesus moments, whether it be figuratively or literally from the media, anytime soon. But at what point do you look at the numbers? Because the people they're insulting are very... probably it's very likely that they're part of their audience, right? Because many people probably do not like or aren't crazy about Donald Trump who voted for him. They're just realizing that they can't afford to go grocery shopping anymore, or they have to choose between eggs or milk or cereal for their kids, or they can't fill up their gas tank every week. They're tired of being told, even though they may be more liberal on certain things, that they're stupid, that they're fascist, that this politician is a racist and this other person needs to be put in jail or Donald Trump needs to be put back in jail. They're tired of the weaponization of the government. And these are people from all walks of life. If he won the popular vote by millions, and that's some pretty big electoral numbers, pushing 300 right now, as I said, probably the Republicans will get the House. They've got the Senate right now. What does that say? Instead of doing some self-reflecting, gosh, guys, you know, we really missed the boat on this. We should have been out there more. We shouldn't just be hanging out in California and New York. We should be going all over, talking to people, getting a pulse on what our viewers, what our readers, what our internet followers, what do they believe? How are they feeling about things right now? And why are so many of them going in a completely opposite direction than they did maybe in 2020 or 2016. But they're too prideful to admit that they are wrong. And we see this a lot in the church, don't we, from these orders that are dying out because they are hanging on for dear life. Women have to be priests. We have to have legalized abortion, and we have to support it in the church. And these other things, gay marriage is fine. And yet, if you look at the orders that are very orthodox, and one of the greatest examples is right in my backyard in southeastern Michigan, the Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. They cannot keep up with the number of requests and inquiries about joining this beautiful order of Dominican sisters because they're joyful, because they love the Lord, and everything is about Jesus, not about them and their agendas. So it's pretty simple. It's very hard to admit that what you've believed in or what you're trying to accomplish may not be best for you and the people whom you're serving. That was a big change for me. It took me 3 years. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. But at what point, how many viewers, how many followers, how many subscribers, how many newspapers have to shut down? How bad do the ratings have to get? before you realize that, Houston, we have a problem. I found some verses on pride. I just want to share a few of these with you. And this is something that I really had to struggle with, in terms of I realized it was my agenda and not God's, and I had to let go. Proverbs 8:13, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Proverbs 16:5, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. And this one, the pride before the fall, Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Many of these media outlets that are attacking American voters, even those that may have followed them, even those that may have been more left-leaning that decided to go a different way because they realize the country is in pretty bad shape, those people, they're impacting, they're insulting, and they don't care because they can't let go. They just can't believe that their agenda is wrong. We're the problem. That's prideful. And they'll continue, unfortunately, to fall. We'll be right back.
The Call, a call from God. Father Vincent Serpa shares his experience.
It began when I was in second grade. I was preparing for my first Holy Communion, and I went to with my mother and father to see The Bells of St. Mary's, the movie with Bing Crosby and Ingrid Bergman. He was the singing pastor, and she was the sister principal of the school. And at one point in the movie, the sister was being transferred out of the school, and it was very painful for her because she thought it was because of her disagreements with the pastor, and it was really because she was ill and didn't know it. There's a scene with her kneeling before the tabernacle in the convent chapel, and I had never seen anybody pray before a tabernacle before. I'd seen them pray before statues, but at this particular time in my life, I was learning about the real presence of the Blessed Sacrament in catechism class, and it made a lot of sense to me. The other thing that moved me was that she was doing the difficult thing because she loved the Lord, and that was very impressive to me. Shortly thereafter, at the catechism class, the sister that had been teaching the boys was transferred away, and I remember when they announced, my eyes filled with tears because I thought that she was doing the difficult thing because she loved the Lord. Again, that just galvanized that whole experience that I had had. Shortly after that, I was at my grandmother's house, and I noticed a picture of St. Martin de Porres, or a statue of him. He was Blessed Martin then, in a Maryknoll magazine, and under it said, Dominican Brother. So I came into the kitchen and I told my mother, I want to be one of those. Years later, I actually did. I became a Dominican lay brother, and then after further discernment, I decided that what the Lord was really calling me to was to be a priest, because I wanted to celebrate Mass, and that's the priest's principal function. It's what makes him a priest, is to celebrate that sacrifice. And that's what I did.
For information on the priesthood or religious life, log on to www.ewtn.com/religious life.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I want you to have such confidence in the Lord that you'll find such hope and see the beauty of the Lord, the majesty of God. What did our Lord say, huh? If your sins are as scarlet, oh, what? What's going to happen? They shall be made white as snow.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Catholic Connection is sponsored by House of Joppa. House of Joppa's mission is to share the beauty of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith in our homes through Catholic home decor, art, candles, statues, rosaries, and Catholic jewelry. They're gifts designed to help you live out your Catholic faith. For more information, go to houseofjoppa.com. That's houseofjoppa, J-O-P-P-A.com.
More of Catholic Connection coming up on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
Thanks for tuning in to the EWTN and the Ave Maria Radio Networks. Find us both online, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. In addition to the archives, you'll find daily at the archives section of AveMariaRadio.net. I always want to encourage you, for news and views from a truly Catholic perspective, please visit our news sources. It's so important to make sure that you are seeing things through the lens, as Al Cresta always says, of Scripture and the teachings of the Catholic Church. So how do you do that? Well, my faves, Catholic News Agency, I use them every day, CatholicNewsAgency.com, the National Catholic Register, NCRegister.com. And then, of course, there are great programs here on the EWTN network that help you take a look at the news, again, through a Catholic perspective. You have The World Over with News Director Raymond Arroyo. You have EWTN News Nightly every single night, covering all the stories in the U.S. and around the world. You have In Depth. It's a relatively new program looking at issues in depth from the news perspective. So just to keep that in mind, when you see something out there in the news or in the world and you're troubled by it, come to us. We've got the resources. Have a great day. Talk to you soon.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.